Yedei Tzavei Rabbi Shmuel Shvatz.
Okay, good morning, good afternoon, of Shabbos. Friday, I understand, is a day for the Parsha. So I want to try and see if we can share a few different ideas. We'll see what time allows. So, Parshas Kisavoy is famous for two very well known Parshas in Kisavoy. Of course, the Klolos, which was the end of Parshas Kisavoy, but also famously the Parsha at the beginning, the Parsha Bikurim, the first fruits which one brings to Yerushalayim, to the Beis Hamikdash. So the question is anything in common between these two ideas, these two concepts? So the first thing which I want to share with you is, Chazal tell us, as Gemara says famously, the reason why we read the Techocha prior to Rosh Hashanah is because we want it to be that Tichle Shono Bekilo Yisrael, that the year should finish with its curses. It's interesting, it seems to be the Gemara is telling us that Tichle Shonu Kilesem is each year seems to have its aspect of Kilesel. If every year we're reading the Techocha again because of Tichle Shonu Kilesel, that seems to imply that it's focused on an idea that every year has its Kilesel, which is a very profound thing in its own right. Every year has, unfortunately, its dimension of Kilo Yisrael. And this is Tichle Shana of Kilo Yisrael. And very much a person's approach in preparation for the Yom HaDin is one very much of fear and trepidation. Now, if there's been a Shana of Kilo Yisrael, what's going to be the next year? Now, famously, the Matzah Ephraim brings the remez that Arye Shoag Milo Yiro, Arye Shoag Milo Yiro, Arye is Rosh Teves, Elo, Rosh Hashanah, Yod Yom Kippur, and Heil Shana Rabba. So Arye Shoag Milo Yiro, when the lion roars, who does not fear? Arye Shoag Milo Yiro. It's a time of pachad, yeah? It's a time of fear. But I heard from a Bidnam once, an incredible diuk. The Arye Shoag, the word Shoag is written in the past tense. Really, it would be more correct if it would say Arye Shoag Miloy Yiro. Grammatically, Shoag means that it's roaring now. When the lion roared in the past tense, it should be Arye Shoag Miloy Yiro. He said a very beautiful idea. He said that it's very difficult. The way to be able to relate to the pachad of the Yom HaDin is not from what's the roar now, it's the roar of last year. It's only once you see what's happened the year gone by, that's when a person appreciates, the trepidation that we said for what's coming. It's once the Arya was Shoag. The Arya was Shoag in the past. Now it's Milo Yiro. And that's very much the approach that we take, and it's something very much on our minds. But I want to learn something else, a slightly different dimension, which I think is fundamental. The beginning of the parasha is the parasha Bikurim. And we know, Chazal teach us, all Mepharshim speak about the concept of bringing the first fruit to the Beis Hamikdash, is the concept of Hakoras HaToiv. It's the concept of showing appreciation to the Ribbono Shel Olam for all that he's given to us. And once the crop is finished and ready and ripe and picked, the first thing we do is we take the very first part of that and take it to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we declare to the Almighty, we declare to the Ribbono Shel Olam that we have the understanding and appreciation that really everything is from you, and it's all in your tremendous kindness that we have what we have. Now, I want to tell you the following sort of moshul. The moshul goes like this. There was a fellow who ran an enormous charity, a massive, massive charity. a charity which did wonderful work, of course, but a huge charity with enormous turnovers and massive expenses. Now, the way it goes for those of you who are involved in this sort of thing is that you have to meet very powerful people, very wealthy people. The word in English I'm going to try. If it doesn't work, I'll carry on. Philanthropist, right? You've got to meet the philanthropist. You've got to meet the philanthropist, yeah? These people are very wealthy people, powerful people, good people. But you have to get the meeting. And if you're so lucky, it could be if you have a moissed or institution or charity that's worthy. So you have a way that you meet with this very wealthy fellow on a yearly basis. The meeting's arranged through secretary to the secretary of the secretary of their secretary to that secretary to all secretary. And eventually you have this meeting arranged on a yearly basis. And what happens when you go to the meeting is you go into this very plush office and you meet this fellow. Now, another hint, if you want to play the wealthy game, is you never give money on the spot. Never. You always say, I know from my own experience here, interesting, fascinating, let me get back to you. And after enough chasing, eventually you send the donation. The donation gets sent over to the charity or the institution, whatever it might be. At that point, the secretary of the charity sends a thank you of sorts, probably a ChatGPT generic thank you letter, which goes to the secretary of this very wealthy fellow, and guaranteed he doesn't see it. It's something like, you're the most wonderful person in the whole wide world, we're tremendously appreciative for your donation, etc. Very generic and very just bland. Okay, next year comes round, and again, you're in touch with the secretary of the secretary of the secretary to the secretary, and another meeting has been arranged this year, end of September, for your annual meeting with this very wealthy gentleman. Now, the charity has got huge expenses, and to be honest with you, things have actually just gone up. We're not in a better place, we're in a worse place financially. We actually need more money. So there's two approaches how you can enter that room. Okay? Approach number one. The fellow walks in there, he walks in tears. He said, you're not going to believe what's going on. The charity is terrible, need of money, we're in a terrible situation financially, we need you to come through. And they invite the choistot, and he's crying, and he's crying. And the fellow's listened to him, he says, I hear. Okay, let me see what I can do for you. There's another potential approach. Remember, you haven't seen this fellow for a whole year. You don't daven his shul, because you wouldn't dare. And you haven't seen him in person for a whole year. So when you come into that room, you say to the fellow, he says, sir, big smile on your face. You know, I haven't seen you for a whole year. And in the interim, the donation you gave us from last year came through and has absolutely changed the face of the organization. I want to show you pictures of what we've done with your donation from last year and the tremendous impact that your donation made last year in just doing so many wonderful things in the organization, beyond, etc., etc. And he goes on and on and on and on. And he's just thanking him for all that he gave last year and the incredible thing that he did for him and how it was used in an incredible way. At the very end of this conversation, which is conducted in a very pleasant atmosphere, and this very wealthy fellow is so delighted and is smiling from ear to ear and back, at that he says, and listen, to be honest with you, we are challenged, and we actually could do with an extra top-up if that's at all possible. If I ask you, who's going to be the one who potentially is going to come out with a aggressor, a donation, a bigger donation? My friends, when we stand before the Rebbeinu Shleilam on Rosh Hashanah, on the Yom HaDin, of course, we see him all the time, kaviyachol, we talk to him all the time, but to talk to him in the capacity of the Adonai Lekoil and the Melech HaMishpot, when he's deciding what to give us for the next year, we haven't seen him for a whole year. Now, when you enter that tefillah, of course, every person in their lives have their areas of challenge and nisyonos and things that they so much wish to pray for that should change. And now is the time, no question about it, as things are being decided, now is the time to chaperein and hopefully institute changes to your life that you so much wish to see. But remember, you've not seen the Rabbeinu Shlalem as the Melech HaMishpat V'Agam Tzeyor for the whole year. Everyone ever crossed their minds to go into the tefillah and say Rabbeinu Shlalem, Rabbeinu Da'al Mekula. I'm just looking back at the last year. The Shefa of Hatova, the Shefa that you've given me the last year. So someone saying a Nusuch, how many loaves of bread have you been through last year? How many bottles of milk? In our language, even though your account is in the minus, how many thousands have been through the system? How many tens of thousands have been through the system? So before you get, and when was that decided? That was decided last year, Rosh Hashanah. And you've not had the chance, really, to say to the Rebbeinu Shleim, I thank you, Me'umcha Deliver, for all you've given to me. To be honest, you didn't actually know the extent of how much the Rebbeinu Shleim gave you last year, till it comes into Rosh Hashanah. I once heard that the last mincha before Rosh Hashanah, you still say Baruch Aleinu, Es Hashanah Hazois. What do you mean, the Hashanah Hazois? Yeah, there's another 20 minutes of Hashanah Hazois, which is all part of last year's Cheshbon. So it comes to the end of the year, and the first thing you do, you say Rebbeinu Da'al Mekula, Rebbeinu Shleilam. How much drafting makitoy to that Tommy you've given to you the whole year? How many blessings they have? How many simchas have I had in the family, in the greater community, wherever it might be? Every chaylik, your panosa, your job, your mishpacha, your children, kinayin hora, 7 einiklach this year. Even if not, 2 einiklach this year. What blessing, a chasna, dus, a yes. Each one of these things are unfathomable, the amount, the greatness, the tremendous hatov of the Rebbeinu Shleilam. It would make sense that would be an approach. I want to say that the parasha starts with Bikurim, go on Klolos. I think both the Bikurim was not just the Bikurim, Akoras HaToy general. It's specifically in the Achonon Le'Madin, the preparation in the Achonon Le'Madin is a focus on the Nyonei Bikurim, a focus on the appreciation of the Atov, all the Rebbeinu Shleilam was given to you in the last year. Then there's Kriyas HaPichochas, which is Tich Leshon HaKilloseon. So it's a balance of, yes, it's a pachad, and we have to have a pachad. And if we have a pachad, then that's going to be already the zchus le'madin. Like it says in next week's sedra, after the tzomah yom kulchem, Rashi says, the Rebbeinu Shleilam says that you had such a pachad, yiriku peneihem, what's going to be? The klolos. The Rebbeinu Shleilam says, if you have a pachad, if it's achieved the objective of having a pachad, of realizing that it's a serious business, then after the tzomah you'll survive, you'll make it. But at the same time, the meridik is damnus, a meridik opportunity to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Rebbeinu Shleilam. And it's a pasuk in this week's Sedra. It says, Anistorois Lashem Elikeinu, Va'aniglois Lonu L'vaneinu. It's next week, sorry, next week. Okay, it's also next week, you can say it as well. Anistorois, they say Atayich, I once heard from Reb Chaim Zatzal, you're right, it's of him. Choftes choches. And Nistorois Lashem Lekeinu. What's the Nistorois Lashem Lekeinu? Nistorois means there's many things that happen we don't understand. Many painful things that happen we don't understand. The Nistor. So those are for the Rebbeinu Shleilam, and we have to work on our Munna and Betochen understanding. The Rebbeinu Shleilam, which is the best Azach, and we're Mekabu Ba'ava, hopefully. The Anigloys, Lono Lovoneinu Adoylom. But the Niglois, what are the Niglois? The Niglois are the revealed kindness we see from the Rebbeinu Shleilam. What's the purpose of that? That's lonu ulavoneinu, for us to talk about and to give shevach for God to Rebbeinu Shleilam, to thank him again and again for the tremendous kindness that Rebbeinu Shleilam has given us. You know, there's a very simple tefillah we start in the morning every day. Moedani lefonecha melechai v'kayom. Shechazal to be nishmosi. You know, that's the first thing we say, the first thing that comes out of our lips. And that should be, and that is, that doma to the day. There's nothing more sacred than Chaim, than life, than the zechia to be able to be in this world, to be able to serve the Rebbeinu Shleilam, to put away the netzach for eternal reward in Mitzvah Hashem. So that's point number one. That's Bikurim vis-a-vis the Klolos in Kisovim. Another nekuda I want to share with you is Interessante Balaturim. The Balaturim says in the parasha of Bikurim, one second, bear with me. Where are we? So Rashi, there's a balatrum that says tene. Sorry, it's pasuk vov. This is chavov vov. Tene. Okay, Rashi, balatrum seems to be vov, if I'm not mistaken. It's pasuk vov. Anyway, tene says a balatrum. Bigmatria samach. Remez the bikurim echad misamach. Olekach ne'elam samach beparshas bikurim. Interesting, again. Bikurim, sorry, tene, bigmatria samach. 16. Remez the bikurim echad misamach. That's fair enough. The remez the bikurim is 1 in 16. Olekach ne'elam samach beparshas bikurim. And that's why there's no letter samach in the entire parasha of Bikurim. What does that mean? Why? What? When? There's no samach in parasha Bikurim. What's it got to do? No samach. No samach. What's the connection?
Samach is a very uncommon letter.
Is it? Okay. Okay. But the Balatrum is saying a reason. Lekach. Ne'elam samach in parasha Bikurim. Deliberately. What's the connection? So the Sefer Mimrakim for a Mendelbaum Shlita. He said an incredible idea, and he could be saying it for a Moshe Shapiro, I imagine. He said as follows. The Samach is a letter which is a circle. A circle means everything's going round. It's round. Round means beginning, reaches the end, end reaches the beginning. It's very locked in. Very locked in. The Samach is Maramas, it indicates something which is just nature going round. Just goes round and round and round, cause and effect, cause and effect, cause and effect. And a fundamental part of the message of Bikurim is the recognition that what seems to be a natural cause and effect, we planted and now we got the crop and it all came through. The message is, don't perceive it that way. There's the Rabban Shloilam who could decide whether it should rain or not rain and how it should rain or too much rain, etc., etc. Incredible to see how yesterday, in a flash flood in 2 seconds, unbelievable how it can rain if the Rebbeinu wants it to rain, right? So when it works out well in the end, that's not teva. We have to appreciate that, no summer. But again, I think this is also a message for ourselves in preparation for Yom Adin. The word galgal, which means a circle, galgal, galgal, a circle, is gematria 66. A circle is a samach. It's very. A person could be stuck in a situation where you are in a circle, you're locked in, you're not budging, you're not moving. You're in a teva sort of mode. Elul's gematria. Elul's gematria. 67. Elul means it's the time when I break out of my natural lock. It's time to get out of the circle and to you become a letter that's not just round and round. It breaks away from that just locking. And if a person does that, a person's able to do that, go out of his natural position he's been in the whole year, then he merits to Chaim. And Chaim's gematria 68. So 66, 67 and 68, not for myself, and 66, 67 I think is from the whole last week, if I'm not mistaken. But the point is as follows. In preparation of Yom Adin, if you want to merit the Chaim, then we have to also find a way of breaking out of Teva, which is a big challenge in itself. Something needs to be done before we get there, and something has to be changed. We have to do something to be willing out to take out, to move, something. So the interesting marshal I heard from Malach, he said, there's always so much to do, and he feels almost impossible, how can I do it? So he said a marshal, there's a fellow who was left far away from his house, for some reason he got dropped off far away, or his car was broken, and he had to walk home. And it was a long, long, long way home. And he walked and he walked and he walked some more and he walked. And as he walked, he got tired and tired, and at one point he couldn't anymore, and he just dropped on the floor. He couldn't. It's exhausted. Now, the fellow dropped on a train track. The fellow where he found, the place he found, there was like a level crossing, and he ended up, the place where he chalished and he dropped, was on the train track. and he chalash dois on the shchaylika. So the fella said to him, listen, you've got to move. There's going to be a train coming. And he said, listen, I'm too exhausted, I can't budge. I'm absolutely spent. The fella said, if you stay where you are, it's all over. I can't move, I'm exhausted. And he said to him, listen, do me a favor. All you need to move is a meter. I'm asking you to budge a meter. Budge a meter, the train will get past, and you'll get your coat because you'll be able to walk. So the Moed the Kazakh, you know, we look about well how far we are. I've got no koyach, I can't move, how can I make myself into a different person? It's all about breaking out the circle. It's just one nekuda, it's just one. Make it 67. It's just move the 1 meter to the side. Then on the train's coming, Chassid Shalom, kill the train's coming, Chassid Shalom, there could be a situation that won't be so poshut. If you move the 1 meter, you'll miss the train. The train will miss you. It's only about the meters, about something. Something you need to do. Something. Start something. Do something. Once heard a very nice, another nice mushel. He said that there was a, you know, a fellow go to MOT. So, for those of us who have the type of cars that, you know, Prevy on upwards, yeah? An MOT is usually a Yontif. Or not much of a Yontif. But the MOT, yeah, if you've got a proper car, yeah. So it's important to you to make sure your car history is clean. Do you know that? If you don't sell it to your second, when I buy my new car, I buy my cars all new. Sorry. I buy my cars new. So when you're going to sell them on later on, when the 25 plate goes, you want to make sure it's got good history. Good history means it can't be any failures in MOT. So what you do is, before you go to the MOT, you take it to your mechanic. You ask him to do the checkover. He does the brake pads. He does the lights that are out. And then what you do is you go like a melech to the MOT. You flash it in, you flash it out, big smile, you pass the MOT. The other option is to go through the MOT, get the list of failures. Off the road because it's dangerous. Then all the tikkunim, you try and find the cheapest sponsor to do it for you. And you're back on the road with a negative history, but you pull through. He says, the Murid Kazakh. He says, there's two ways of going to the Yom HaDin. There's one way, you know there's faults, there's stuff that's going wrong, brake pass, can't shut your mouth, yeah, all sorts of issues that have to be dealt with. Now there's two options. You can either try and take care of the issues before you get there. Or you can sort of, we're told, fail the MOT on Rosh Hashanah, and scramble through our service to make sure and put it through at the end. Hopefully by Yom Kippur you're sorted. So what we're saying 66 goes 67 is there anything we can do now this side to try and sort it? What can we do this side to try and go in a better shape to be able to afterwards just have it more geschmiert, to have it sorted? So that's another idea. Again, the remnants of the Balaturim, Samach is Teva, and the message of breaking out Teva for ourselves as well. Another point, if we have time on Chaparayim, so we have this, what's called the Kriya. So when he brings the Bikurim, he stands in front of the by the way, just another point, yeah? Higatzi Ayoyim, right? Rashi says, V'omar Te'ilov, sorry, you come to the Kohen, Rashi Yivir V'yom Mehem, V'omar Te'ilov, Higatzi Ayoyim, I came to bring my first fruit. Rashi says, "V'amar te'ilov she'eincha kofui toivo," to show you're not somebody who lacks appreciation. It's a bit weird, it's a bit strange. Why is it that you say that I'm not somebody who's kofui toivo? Why not say "V'amar te'ilov" to show that you are a makir toivo? Why took it in the negative that you're not somebody who's kofui toivo? That's a beautiful idea. For you to be makir toiv to the Rebbeinu Shem, like we said at the beginning, is impossible. The infinite kindness the Rebbeinu Shem has given to you is impossible. The fact that you're functioning, the fact that your body's working, the fact that every part of your body's working is incredible. There's no way that you can show appreciation to the Rebbeinu Shem to the extent that you need to. The best you can do is to show you're not a kofui toivo. Start with something, do something, say something. That's the least. So then he starts his speech. and he's the famous speech, Harami Yogdavi, etc. And he goes on a whole tangent of what went on in Egypt. And the famous question is, Egypt was a long time ago. We got on with Mitzrayim years ago. We're now in Eretz Yisrael. Let's leave history, history. So there's a few explanations in this. One I remember hearing from Shiva Shita of C, to Gerb and others, a famous idea shared by many, is that when you want to give that speech of appreciation to the Ribbono Shel Olam, legitimately, it's not just about the moment. It's about all that brought you to that moment. So you know, you find that, unfortunately, it happens less and less because there's less of them. You know, when a survivor, a war survivor, stands up by a Nainikul's Chasana and speaks, so suddenly they've gone back into Auschwitz. They start talking about the survived the war. Like, what's it got? What's the war got to do with this Chasana? Baruch Hashem, we're so many years down the line. And the answer is, that person who lives with the Koras HaTov understands that it's not just the moment. It's everything that made this moment possible. And if you are genuine Baki Tov, you say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's not just about now that I'm making a Shidduch. It's about the fact that you gave me the opportunity, the fact that you married me off, Ribbono Shel Olam, you blessed me with children, and I'm zoicha at this point to bring a child to the Chasna. It's a whole history. It's a much bigger picture. And in not being a kofu toiva, it's time to start from the beginning. This is about the fundamental lesson in how I'm supposed to do that. Build the picture. There's a lot more than there is than just saying, thanks for the fruit. It's a history, what took us to this point. We went through Mitzrayim, the Ribbono Shel Olam, you saved us. All that brought us to this point today. But I heard another idea. I heard it from Mashveh, actually, Zazan Gazint. He said a beautiful thing. He said, what's another idea of mentioning Mitzrayim? He said, Amari de Kazakh. He says, you know, when a person works in the field, right? So anyone here who is in agriculture, you'll know that it's processes, there's stages. There was that one day when it was so windy outside and it was the planting season and you were shaking like a leaf out there trying to get things sorted. And then there was that drought and you schlepped water around to water the thingy. Every stage of the process was challenging. And in the same situation, similarly in today, you know, wherever your line is, wherever you're working in, there's steps in that process that are very challenging. In the end, Baruch Hashem, it all came through. There's a message here we have to remember. What the revelation wants the person to internalize is, Mitzrayim was a very tough time. But in the end, the Ribbono Shel Olam brought it through. The Ribbono Shel Olam saved us, he took us out of Mitzrayim. You've been through experiences in your life in trying to make a panosa, which are challenging. But in the end of the game, here you are, with your new fruit, fresh fruit, ready to go. The message is that life has times that are challenging. And at the time, a person feels overwhelmed by the challenging circumstances that he's in. The message is, remember Mitzrayim turned good, and now your panosa turned good. So we have to recognize that these times that will be challenging. And life is a circle, maybe a different type of circle. And you have to remember, and remember always, that tough times ultimately will bring the good in the end. Thank you for listening. Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos. Thank you. Thank you.